This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. A first win in 7, a second win in 16, 2 unbeaten, and now 9 points adrift of safety. A draw at Northampton, gents. I can feel the buzz already in the studio, followed up by a day of deflections, I suppose, against Newport County. It wasn't quite a backside, was it, fellas?
No.
But it was a shoulder. We had a shoulder going in there from Ryan Haynes. Lovely stuff. Lovely to see the O's back to winning ways at the weekend against Newport County. It is, of course, the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by the boys from the Lowdown Podcast. Julian Fern, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Rob Edwards, hello.
Evening.
And we have one other in the studio this evening. Delighted to say we are joined by Danny Macklin, Chief Executive of Leighton Orient. Hello, Danny.
Good evening, chaps. Good evening.
Great to have you here. Fellas, it's going to be an enjoyable hour, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, really. So, actually, first time I've been bloody nervous on the show. So, P's and Q's and questions we can't ask, but looking forward to it, though.
Lovely stuff. Well, we're going to get into plenty later on, Danny. Many questions, I imagine, you're ready to answer from the boys about the club in general itself. But we'll start with the action. Let's start with the draw and the win, an unbeaten week for the O's. And fellas, like we said, a good 7 days, Rob.
Definitely. I think anyone would have taken 4 points from those two games. Teams above us, not in bad form. Northampton obviously having a bit of cup run as well. I think kind of writing was on the wall a little bit. We started the Northampton game as we've started a lot of games previously. But second half we kicked on, got a nice point, and a little punch up at the end. So what do you need?
Can we talk about this punch up, by the way? We won't dwell on it too much, but this is an element of football that I cannot stand. If ever you see pig ignorance in football, just petty boys in a playground, it's almost a case of give me my ball back, because that's what happened, wasn't it? I think it was Jordan McGuadre who had the ball. Scott Wharton runs up to him and tries to grab the ball out of his hands. A big melee ensues because he won't give him the ball back. They both go and get sent. Well, it wasn't Jordan, was it, in the end, that got sent off?
No.
Dayton, that was it, sorry. And yeah, this big brawl ensues, and I mean, come on, fellas, we're all grown men, surely.
You know what? I think there's a lot of passion going on there. Yeah, the equaliser goes in. We're on the front foot as we were saying earlier. You know, the first half was as dour half, but regards to coming out the second half, we flew at them. I think if we, as Danny said outside, if we had another 5 minutes, I think we'd have got another one, got the winner. So it was a really good game. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you know what? As a fan, I sit just as that literally in front of me. I loved it. I thought it was great. It was like a comical 2 seconds, wasn't it? Like players diving in, other players throwing other players away.
A few stewards knocking about as well.
Oh yeah, we had stewards in the pitch as well. We had everything, didn't we? I know you mentioned this at the meeting on Thursday, the reasons why, but it was everything. All we needed to do was a couple of stretches. Oh, they've been lovely. They've been really good. Sorry.
There were some camera views as well. I've seen a lot of the footage from behind the goal as well, people with their camera phones that showed all the action going on, which the actual professional cameras didn't quite catch. So it was great. Multi-camera view of the brawl. But we'll move on, gents, to the win, of course, at the weekend against Newport County. Now, Danny, we've spoken previously on the show, and I made a bit of a gag. Hilarious it was. I must say, we've had quite the japes about it. But the players, we needed a bit of a slice of luck. We were thinking maybe it was going to come off someone's backside. The players have been doing squats to largen up their bums. But it turned out it was a shoulder from Newport's Ryan Haynes that opened the scoring. Brilliant stuff.
That's not what Marvin says.
Really? Oh, here we go.
I think he's trying to claim it, and if he was a striker, he'd be claiming it as the defender. What? Yeah, if he's chipped in at the opposite end of the pitch to what he would normally do, then yeah, absolutely. Why not?
No, I completely agree with you.
But Mark, I say, from a fan's perspective, it did look like Marvin, but give the guy his due. He'd give it a good go as well. So wherever it came off of, who's ever head, bum, leg, knee, whatever, shoulder, it went in. And I think that was just sort of showed the determination the side had. You know, and we interviewed Ross after the game, and he was joking, saying that he told the guys before the kickoff that we're 1-0 down already. So they went out in the first half and gave it a good go. So I was really impressed with the attitude of the players, and you could see for once that we seem like a team together. And I think with Cisse in the middle there, sort of our commanding midfielder, I think a lot of people have been crying out for on the terraces. He just does all the good, all the nice and easy stuff well. He's quite an enforcer. He looks the part, and guess what? He gets the man of the match as well. So I was really impressed with Saturday.
Atmosphere inside the ground, Rob, good?
It was positive, yeah. I think what I think helped was when we went 1-0 up, we could have quite easily just sat back and tried to nurse the win and get 1-0 over the line. But I think we actually played better after being 1-0 up and took the game to them and got the second, which we deserved. I think Rawls' goal-to-minutes ratio must be up there with some of the best in the country at the moment. I mean, 3 in 4.5 games or so. And that's what we want, just someone getting on the end of a cross, which hasn't really happened too often. So I think the positivity around going 1-0 up and pushing on to try and put it to bed, particularly as we know we always love a 94th minute goal to concede just to keep people on their toes. I think the second goal was really important, and it was good to see him just continue and keep going and get that second one.
But I was impressed with that goal with Liang Goh, the turn and the delivery down the line for Josh to run onto. And you said the ball across was great, but Rawls, sorry, it was fabulous to watch him. And you can see the sort of the passion in his face as he scored it. And that's some of the pictures you see, the screaming. And I think there's quite a lot over social media that sort of like that exuberance of like pleasure of scoring. And again, against the same side he scored a couple of weeks back, just over the Christmas period. He's a talent, and I'm looking at Danny saying, making sure he holds on to him over the next couple of years, really. He's a great, great player.
He is. He's an absolute pleasure to watch. It was a lot of people queried, why are we sending him out on loan when we sent him to Dover? Well, Saturday proved why we did, because he needed some match time. He got match time, came back hungry, and Saturday's goal will make him even more hungry.
Did you see Shadrach's goal?
What a bad finish.
So we've got a player on loan at Dover, just in case you wasn't aware. And he's a left-back. He was playing left-back, wasn't he, there? Yeah. He's got the team of the week for the National League. What a goal. And what a black player. So he'll be back in the side as of next Saturday then. Good.
Well, I know that you were given names from a certain Charlie Hawkins, right? It's given you all nicknames previously in shows.
Where are we going with this?
I know. I'm going to do you a favour here, mate. So yeah. I'm going to say you've been at your Journo Julian business haven't you?
Yeah, I'm trying my best, you know. I'm trying to get your, as you said last week in the show, the week before last, I'm trying to get your job.
You are indeed. Yeah. I'm trying to glue myself to this seat so I don't go anywhere. But you did speak to manager Ross Embleton after the game, as per usual. Here is what he had to say.
Hasn't happened enough this year. But I think what we've shown today is a strength and a resilience to earn that win. There were some good moments, there were some positive chances created, but what I'm most pleased about is that doggedness, that aggressiveness to try and see through the tough moments in the game, which we knew we were going to get against a team like this, but we've done it well and I think we deserve the 3 points.
So I think from a fan, we see when a players or the players step up and you see the fighting for the badge, you can feel the crowd around you. How proud were you when you hear the fans sort of calling your name sort of halfway through the second half?
It's happened so often and my answer's always been so very similar, but it sends a shiver down my spine, I didn't want to make too much of a meal of it when we'd gone 2-0 up, because it was dangerous and obviously I could have lived to regret it. But at the end there, some people might say I overreact, but the tension of trying to get a result, the tension of trying to win games every week is an incredible one. So to do it and get the result is magnificent. But then to have your home fans at both ends, but that south stand always give it that little bit more, is wonderful. It's a great feeling.
As a head coach, do you business as usual, we're going to training and going to the next game on Tuesday, nothing changes, or is there a lift within your own spirit? Because I can see it here just speaking to you today, yeah, after Tuesday, you look a little bit grey and a little washed out, you haven't been on holiday for a couple of years.
Now
you look quite well now, yeah. So is there any changes?
I think, do you know what, it was really interesting, I went to Tottenham yesterday to watch a game after training, and I was talking to Wayne Bennett, ex-Orient player, someone that I've worked with before, and Wayne said to me, what are you like after a defeat? And I said to him, I'm not too bad, because the first thing I do is I go home and I analyse it and I watch it and I take it all in and I try and find the solution. And obviously losing's happened more than winning, so I suppose it's a feeling that I've got started to get to grips with. I said, what I haven't done enough is enjoy the wins. I've got my mate's 40th birthday party tonight, okay, so I'll be going out and I'll be doing everything I can to make the most of today, because I think it's important that we all do that. This group hasn't won enough games this year, and I obviously include myself in that. So I'm delighted first and foremost for them. I'm delighted that they can go home tonight with a win under their belts and feel as though they can build. I'll do the same thing tomorrow. I'll spend the morning with my kids, and then in the evening I'll sit down and I'll watch the game and I'll analyse it, and I'll be ready on Monday morning to make sure we go hell for leather to get something at Crewe.
Well, that was Ross Embleton there speaking to our very own Julian Fearn after the game. Enjoy that, Matt. It was very good again, I have to say.
Yeah, listen, he's a really good guy to interview. I mean, as Daniel will probably repeat, he'll tell you anything you ask the right question. What we tried to do over the last couple of teams, and it's the pleasure of Orient allowing us to sort of down the touchline after a home game now, so that's really interesting. But what we try to do is to ask the questions and not everyone else asking about the game, the fixture, something we've all just watched or people have been watched on the streaming. I'm just trying to ask a little bit more about Ross, under the bonnet of him, and what makes him tick, what interests him. We spoke to him about when he was appointed and what did his old man say, and get behind the scenes, because I think we all think we know Ross, and I know Ross no different than the guys in the studio, but I know Danny does, works with him every day, so it's nice to get that out there, because it's helped build his profile to the fans, and he has early days, people are sort of a little bit undecided, or he split the fan base. And what we're trying to do is trying to help him on that journey to bring that a little bit closer together. But guess what? Winning football games would do that a lot better than us on our radio show. But more importantly, I think he's a great guy, and I think he comes across that he cares about the club and cares about where we are and where we're going. And I think he's had a real tough old time this season so far, but I think there's some nice sunrise ahead, is it, or whatever the game, what they say, a sunrise ahead. And I think we do feel we'll be in a real positive place at the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounded, to be fair, that he was just on his way to go and pick up a pizza, fellas. Now, listen, I can't wait to hear what the answer is here, Danny, because a video has gone viral this week with regards to a scooter scooting along the turf in that clash with Newport County, and it was a Papa John's delivery man. Can you please shed some light on exactly what was going on here?
Yeah, my phone went a bit mad Saturday night. So it's something we've been doing every game. Josh, our head of commercial, it was his one of his brainchild, and we very much run with it. So fans can basically sit in the third dugout for a game. It's basically a hospitality package with a bit of difference. Energy Mind and Papa John's is the package we do with that. And as part of that package, pizza's come along on a moped. It's a bit random, but boy, it works. And it's a great bit of publicity for the sponsors and for the club and for Bragg Group. It's brilliant. And they go along side of there, deliver the pizzas, and the rest, as they say, is a bit of slice of the action.
I knew there was going to be a pun there.
Do you know what's really, really funny? I think it cracks my every home game. They go past the away supporters. So that's probably the image you're on Saturdays from the Newport fans. But every time, and it depends who we're playing, they give a little toot and they get a little bit of abuse back. I think it's brilliant. I think I wish I sat a bit closer to that and see what more abuse they got. But it's a great incentive. I think it's some of the stuff that Daniel will talk about later on. You know, the club's trying to do thinking outside the box. You know, we're a football club, but we're a business, and we've got to make money, or we've got to at least be breaking even, and that's something I think is really important to the club.
Absolutely. I would imagine that the local Papa John's as well, at some occasions on Saturdays, are inundated with phone calls. You say it goes past the away stand, I bet if you go, oh, I'll tell you what, we can have a pizza, lads, forget the pies, we'll go and order a pizza.
It's certainly working. We were speaking to the manager, director and chief exec and what have you of Papa John's UK at the weekend, and they're absolutely ecstatic. And yeah, we're very pleased with how that panned out on and off the pitch Saturday.
Panned out. Yeah, there we go. Another one.
Oh, I'll see you next week.
Gents, that is the first segment down here. We have, of course, got Danny Macklin, Chief Exec of Leighton Orient, in the studio. Plenty more questions to come.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Leighton Orient fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Lowdown podcast, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Also joining the studio, delighted to say Danny Macklin is here, Chief Exec of Leighton Orient. We're going to be getting on to sustainability and streaming in a moment or two, gents. But first, there was quite an emotional occasion at the weekend, wasn't there? The Justin Edinburgh stand was unveiled. Many people in attendance, including his family too. Rob, you were just saying there before the, well, during the ads, that it was quite, yeah, quite an emotional moment.
Yeah, I think for me, I saw that someone put a picture up on Twitter fairly early, and I was just leaving the home, and I was like, okay, this is quite, means a lot, because we none of us know how the family or the players or the club felt behind the scenes, because we're just fans. But reality is, I think it was emotional, and I think it's something that we've all cried out from early doors regards to wanting something in some memorial. I think Charlie, in his interviews with another radio station, was talking about the discussions have been going on for such a while, and we appreciate the most poignant game to announce it is Newport. I think everyone gets that, and I think for me as a fan on the terraces when we was clapping his family on the balcony, I think that was very emotional, very emotional. And I think if there wasn't many dry eyes in the house, I would imagine.
Mm. Indeed.
It was a special afternoon, and we obviously rightly gave Kerry, Sydney and Charlie that moment by themselves, sort of underneath the new boards. And yeah, I think it was a very emotional one for them, and yeah, we had rightly so allowed a good dozen or so of their family to be there as well.
Lovely stuff. We're moving on to a bit of admin, a bit of player news. Dean Brill has decided to finally hang up his gloves. He might one day return again, who knows, with Dean Brill, but this week he's retired from playing and gone back into his coaching role full time.
Yeah, he'll be there very much to assist Ross and the coaching team that's there. He'll play a big part of that. I've only been in football for sort of 4 or 5 years, but you lean on people like Martin and Ross that have been in it for a lot longer, and the experience that Dean brings, not so much from you know, obviously from the coaching point of view, but he has a passion for it, absolute passion for coaching, and he's got a passion to learn, and he brings something a bit different to it. And as a goalkeeper, you see the whole game, and he's got those, you know, decades of experience, won't thank me for saying that, but decades of experience to bring to the mix, and it's an exciting addition to the coaching setup.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Rob, some other transfer news you want to discuss too?
Yeah, so we've got Danny in, potentially Danny out. Obviously, Danny in the studio. Very Danny day today. First of all, obviously, been evident on Saturday that he wasn't in the dugout, and obviously a lot of chat through social media. Is there anything you can say about Danny Webb and what the situation is?
I'm not going to discuss Danny Webb today in this show, shall I say.
Okay. Any idea on when we might know exactly what happened?
That's something that we will. Yeah, it's an internal thing to discuss first and foremost.
Okay. Well, obviously, more positive stuff in terms of
more of a positive Danny. Yeah.
More of a positive Danny. With Danny Johnson joining, obviously we saw him last season at Gateshead. I think he looked quite dangerous. He scored against us in the FA Trophy. Looks like a proper number nine that we've been looking for. What's your kind of What were the attributes that the club saw in him and early impressions so far?
Yeah, I'm saying everything that he did at Gateshead as a player that Martin and Ross and Justin had been looking at, and one we tried to get before. He's done okay in Scotland, and yeah, that's in the top levels. And yeah, I think he does. He probably brings something that's a bit different to what the current strike force gives us another option. And at the moment, he's going to have to play his way into the side. Obviously, we've got to get the international clearance through the Scottish FA sorted. Hopefully, that will be a quick formality. But it's a process we obviously have to go through. And yeah, I think it's an exciting addition. You look at his show reel, and we obviously know firsthand the goals that he scored against us annoyingly in the trophy. And hopefully, he'll score a few more of them in
I do hope you said something before you signed the paperwork and said he's got to pay you back in some form of recompense for scoring against us.
Well, I guess he's on a minus. However many he scored minus two already. So he's he really is a good addition, and it's, you know, he wants to come back down to this area, and I think we've done really well to secure his services because he was a wanted man.
So is he more of a, like a Maka type player?
He looks to me like a number nine. I mean, Angle and Wilkinson tend to sort of drift wide a little bit naturally, trying to drop deep to get on the ball. I think they like to be on the ball more. Where what we've seen from this guy, he just tends to want to get in the box and score goals. Basically.
I listened online to the other Danny interviewing Danny. There's a lot of Dannys in our club, isn't there? And I think
far too many.
And he was one thing he did say is about he is a fox in the box. That's his attribute. So I'm really looking forward to that, because I think Rule's very similar to that, a very, very tenacious, very busy player. And I think we've missed that since Maka left at the beginning of the season. So it'd be really good to see that. So international clearance, I always find that quite funny. Where's he coming from? Scotland. Okay, right. I know the different FAs appreciate that.
The process is it always takes a long time. It's Lindsay leads with that, and yeah, she'll be on the phone every minute to, is this getting done?
So tomorrow we could potentially see two new players in the side if clearance is, you know, but definitely on Saturday there's a potential to have sort of two of our signings in the side, which will be quite interesting, especially after our sort of little bit around old Lawrence, you know, the interview. I think that was quite good, and I listened to that get back again today, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Richard Lee.
When Richard was saying this guy could be phenomenal if he knuckles down and gets back into doing the right things, could be Championship, Premiership type player, and I'm going, wow, he sits and plays at Orient. I think that's fantastic.
I think what would be good to see is obviously Sam Sargent's played and come in and done very well, but what you kind of see when you've got a good number two waiting in the reins to come in is, will the first mistake that Sargent makes be the time that he comes out the squad? Which I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, we don't want him to make a mistake, and hopefully, you know, he has a blinder for the rest of the season. But I think you see it quite a lot when a goalkeeper makes a mistake and there's someone knocking on the door. That's generally when they kind of bring the new goalkeeper in. How kind of secure would you say Sarge's place in? Is he the established number one at the moment?
I think it's the same for every position. Yeah, the objective always is to have that 22-man squad with cover for every single position, and Lawrence Figueroa gives that, and hopefully that will make Sam even better. And I think we've seen that so far, and he's made some phenomenal saves at key stages, and a similar way to what Dean did last year. And I think it's a bit like you guys. You said about jumping in the hot seat here. You've given a couple of good bits.
Crikey, have a word.
You have to watch your back.
But you talk about. I mean, Ross. I honestly thought Ross would drop Sam on Saturday. Especially after the sort of a couple of bad kicks on earlier in the week, and then one where he nearly sort of
passed it to the centre forward.
That's correct. Yeah, very. I know he's a lovely chap, but he did. He stood by him, and he did had another good game. So I think Lawrence is going to have to fight for that place. But reality is that sometimes, as you said, having that sort of good number two, not no disrespect to Janata or any other younger goalkeeper, but someone who's literally at top of their game, who can pay their fines in pennies, so you'd be right there when he gets the money, and when he gets a fine, he can turn up with 50 grand's worth of pennies. So I'm looking forward to it, but reality is I support Ross's decision. If Sam is the right player now, play the right player.
Yeah, completely agree. And just to very quickly finish on goalkeepers as well, it is a bonus, it's a benefit. If you look at, I don't want to talk too much about Premier League, but if you look at the Premier League, Chelsea, Kepa, Willy Caballero, not really competition, hence you see Kepa's form perhaps just slightly dipping. Same with West Ham, Fabianski, the overriding number one, he gets injured. You've got Roberto, and then the number two is David Martin. Roberto's not thinking, I'm going to lose my place here. In the end, he did, because he was that bad, really. So to have that strong number two should hopefully only make Sarge just that little bit better. But gents, let's get into the nitty-gritty, I like to say now, and the buzzword, which is so buzzy I couldn't properly say it a minute ago, sustainability. Danny, to many football fans, we hear this word sustainability, and especially with Leighton Orient, we've heard it over and over again in recent times. Now, can you just give the listeners an idea of exactly what that means and why it's so important?
Don't think there's anything more important. As a club, we want to be two things: successful, but to be sustainable. We're not going to go and invest silly money that isn't there or is there. You know, we're going to be sensible. Taking a prudent approach to ultimately drive a successful club that breaks even. That's a big challenge. It's a challenge that we're must rise to. Are we there yet? No, absolutely not. Have we got a long way to go? Yeah. Can we get there? Yes, because we have to and we will. Because of the vision of our board, we very much want to make sure that we're doing that on a stepped process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. We're, if you like, 2.5 years into that journey, and have we made an inroads to improve our loss? No. There's been some exceptional reasons why that is, but ultimately we have to review everything that we're doing and make sure our revenues continue to rise. Again, it sounds boring, but the more money that we have come through the doors, the more money we can put into transfer budgets and facilities, etc. And at the same time, keep an eye on that, you know, all of the costs so that our bottom line improves. And yeah, we want to make sure we've got a club to pass on to the next generation, the generation after that. And it sounds boring, but there is nothing more important in football, and we're at a very key junction of where the game is going.
I think it doesn't sound boring. Sort of 3 years ago, we were looking down the barrel of a gun, thinking our club will no longer exist. So we've had a couple of questions in, Danny, and one sustainability. Matt Roper is messaged us a couple of things. I think you answered his first two of his questions, which nice and easy. But the one he said here, which is quite interesting. Do you know, so I appreciate if you don't know, how many of the 71, not including Bury, of course, EFL clubs have broken even, turned in a profit in the last, say, 10 years? Is there any numbers about that out there in your forums?
Well, on Thursday evening, so which there are still just about places left when Nigel's doing this fan Q&A, that's something that we're going to bring to life. So without spoiling that one, it's a very high number that lose money year after year. And football cannot continue like that. Yeah, you've got the Premier League greats turning over hundreds and hundreds and millions a pound, and you know it's just not filtering down enough. The money that we get from the solidarity from the Premier League and the EFL is great, but every penny that ends up going through player wages, whatever club it's at, and that model cannot be sustained in the long term.
I appreciate from a fan's stance, we see, and you're very socially aware of what goes on Twitter and the forums and what have you. And I think we as fans think sort of Nigel and Kent just keeps applying money into it and he'll be all right. And we know that doesn't work. But some of the comments are made is that is it at all costs, you know? And some of the fans that have sort of been very vocal saying we feel like we're becoming literally that your seat, you have to buy your seat, and you get your ticket, season ticket, buy your seat as well, and extra money. You know, if you walk more than 10 steps in front of you, you get charged for the 11th. I know these things are very, very juvenile. People are sort of in the business for understand making the money and what have you. But my concerns are, as some of the fans have seen us change so dramatically over 2 years. The previous regime had none of this, and we know that, and we've seen that story. What sort of the thoughts of that? Is it at all costs? But is the fan as important today to the club as they were in yesteryear? You know, because I think when I started supporting the club many, many, many years ago, and before Barry was in charge, and it was we just always was a poor relation. And I think at the moment where we're trying to get to, the sustainability is breaking even in your eyes, isn't it? You know, it's not even turning the profit, it's breaking even. And us as fans are thinking, oh bloody hell, we're doing this, we're doing that, we've got Papa John's running around the pitch, you know everything's sponsored and double sponsored. And is there do the board aware of that how some of the fans see the commercialisation of the club?
I think the fans it's easy to say, but that should never be and aren't ever taken for granted. We had to increase our commercial revenues. They were really low. They were clearly significantly down on sort of Barry and Matt Porter's era during that, shall we say, that interim phase between ownership, shall we say.
I like that.
We had to do an awful lot to get the revenues back to what they were as a League One club. That's been helped by us engaging with fans. Yeah, we've had to increase the commercial revenue from hospitality, from sponsorship, etc. But the biggest thing that what we've been able to do, thanks to the fans, is grow the attendance. Season tickets, 4,300 odd. Attendance is the highest for absolute years. Home and away crowds growing. Yeah, if we ever take that for granted, we failed. And you know, I like to think with all the engagement we're doing, we're anything but taking that for granted.
It's all about growing the fan base. I think it's another thing you want to pick up on. So I've got a couple of questions on that. So first of all, we know there's going to be some development opposite the club at some point in the future with the Score Centre and all that area being redeveloped for housing. So is the club sort of getting busy with that and finding out what's truly going on, so how we can influence that? That's one question. And we talk about sort of I use the word commercialisation. I do apologise. It's not any offence. But regards to the pound note in the pocket, as a fan, we've got a real mixed bunch of people go to the club. We've got people who are fairly affluent and can afford multiple season tickets and pay for everything, including O-Nuts and shirts and what have you. Then you've got the other spectrum of fans who literally they struggle to buy their season ticket. That's probably their biggest expense in their whole life outside their own their rent, their bills at home. So what we're trying to do just to make sure we do embrace the whole fan base instead of sort of trying to get more blood out the same stone, because I'm really conscious of that, especially where we are in the community that sits around the club. I know you from your data, you could probably tell we've got a real mixed fan base from out into Essex and into the south of the water and north as well. So that for me is really important, making sure everyone gets a fair crack to come and see the O's.
I'm more worried you've still got a pound note and you probably know it's not legal tender. So yeah, there's a few questions there. So one, in terms of how we can grow the fan base, very much in negotiation and discussion with the council and Taylor Wimpey, who are developing the site opposite the Score Centre. That provides a huge opportunity. During the build phase, completion phase, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, there's going to be a good few thousand fans literally on our doorstep. And we're hoping that the club they're going to pick is Lake Norrien, and why shouldn't it be the living opposite it? So very much that, but residents moving into the area, residents that have lived here for a while, we want to engage them. So our catchphrase, Real Football in the Capital, is going to have a different mantra that will still exist, but we're going to have real football on your doorstep. We've got tens of thousands of people living within three tube stops, which is what Kent uses, three tube stops either side of Leighton, and that is a monumental...
Subway, I mean subway stops.
he does call it tube. Does call it tube. And that is a huge catchment of people that we are appealing to, and we've got to even more. Until we've sold every single seat in that ground, we won't stop what we're doing. And we've got to be relevant to the groups. We've got to make sure that we are relevant when they come on a match day. We're engaging, we're encompassing for everything that they represent and what they want to see at a sporting event and a family event. And I think we're on that journey, but we've got a long way to go to reach that goal.
Absolutely. That is Chief Exec of Leighton Orient there, Danny Macklin. This is the Leighton Orient Fan Show. We've got plenty more coming up.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Lowdown podcast, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Danny Macklin, Chief Exec of the club, in the studio with us today as well. A real privilege, Danny, to speak to you and ask questions and get some frank and honest answers. I have to say, by the way, your Twitter, you must be an exhausted man. It's just constant. Constant questions and constant answers.
Yeah, my wife, Claire, loves it.
Very impressive, I have to say. And a few of the questions that have been asked towards you this week have been about streaming, the TV app. This is another one. Why is this so important for fans?
Another revenue stream for us, but more importantly for the fans, an opportunity to watch the game that they might not have ever seen. There's nowhere better than being at the ground, whether it's at Briar Grip Stadium or away tomorrow. There is nowhere better than being there with your fellow fans. But the second best is to be on your sofa and watch it. And fans in the UK tomorrow can watch the game. It's £10. It's price of a couple of pints, which you said you're buying later, and it is
with
the opportunity.
Good luck with that.
Pound notes left. Good luck with that.
It's an opportunity for people in the UK to watch midweek games, and if you're overseas, to watch every single game. We've got fans, not just Kent and Nigel. We've got fans all over the States, Far East. We spoke about Kuala Lumpur earlier. We've got people there, Australia, New Zealand. We've got a fan group in Iceland. There's a load of guys watch it in Dubai. It's just genuinely, there'll be a stage where we have more people watching it in the stream in a few years' time than potentially are in the stadium watching it. And it's that's what we've got to strive for.
So does this differentiate from other clubs? Because I know that there's the iFollow system, but a specific TV app for a club where fans from all over the world can watch it. And just to avoid any confusion here, the whole 3 p.m. on a Saturday rule, that still exists. You can't sit and watch a game from the UK at 3 p.m.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and that rule, I can't remember the number of the rule, but yeah, that will stay in place certainly for the foreseeable. Obviously, that's an FA and a league rule. And yeah, there's not a lot different to what we're doing to what other clubs. We're on our own platform, which the majority of the EFL clubs aren't. So we have a, whilst the restrictions are the same, we've got more reward for every person that signs up for it. So every, you know, every penny that does, again, helps that bottom line improvement and investment into the squad and what have you. But we launched the app, and that's made a massive difference. So now people can watch it on mobiles and tablets. And tomorrow night, yeah, I would hope we'll have a good few hundred in this country and probably even more overseas. But if you haven't used it, it's a great service. You get to listen to Dave Victor, and it's, yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal service. And, yeah, people can subscribe for the season, for the month, for the game, and it's, yeah, it's a great product, and we're lucky to have it.
So have you got sort of a target you're trying to reach on the streaming? Because I presume every pound note, I keep saying that, sorry, every pound coin, £10 note.
You tried to pay in stamps the other day. Yeah.
every £10 note that comes in there, that's the revenue to the club. But have you got a target you're trying to reach over the next couple of seasons?
It's probably got Green Shield stamps.
I'm enjoying this.
I'm going back next door to Charlie.
We'll have Danny back.
What's the other one? Esso tokens. I've got loads as well. The tiger
tokens. My granddad told me. We've got at the moment it's generating a six-figure revenue, albeit a low six-figure revenue. And yeah, I said we there's no ceiling to it. That's the beauty of it. And we're reaching out to fans that just want to watch an actual real game of football that's not covered in VAR. And they might not have an association to London, to Leighton, but we're finding fans, albeit small numbers at the moment, but they'll tell someone else. And, you know, we've got people that will come over from, say, China, watch a game because they want to watch a real game, and then go, well, I quite enjoyed watching Leighton. I've just bought a shirt. Oh, on Tuesday night, they're at home to crew. I'll watch that with the wife. It might be 3 a.m, but they'll watch it. And it's growing.
We should give a discount to West Ham fans, shouldn't we, really? You know, as their season gets worse and worse. Yeah,
tempting. And yeah. So we're all joking apart, we're finding football fans, especially across London, are alienated either by price, alienated by VAR, or just feel so disengaged with Premier League football. And it's we can offer that. Premier League has its place, and you know, I'll watch my good share of those games, but it's, yeah, is that really connected to the real fan?
Agree wholeheartedly there. Let's move on to memberships, Danny. You want to give a bit of an update on this one?
Yeah, so we're switching ticket systems. That's kind of been forced upon us. Our ticket provider, unfortunately, as they have with every one of their clients, has decided to leave the field of football for now. So that gives us an opportunity. With every challenge, we look at that, and we want to introduce, amongst many other things next season, the ability for fans to, if they're not a season ticket holder, that's obviously the Holy Grail, but the next step is to be a member, and we want to reach out to our international fans that feel connected to the club. They might only come once a year, but we'll probably watch every game on stream, buy a shirt, etc. We want them to feel part of that club, so there'll be a membership scheme that we'll launch in the spring/summer that can engage with fans that may not have been as engaged in the past.
One thing I saw we spotted even in the National League, where some of the clubs we went to, their ticketing system was a little bit more advanced than ours, regards to we still turn up with tickets, you know, and if you have to swap those around if you can't make it or you forget it, and you have to go to the Lindsay and get a reprint and what have you. Are we looking to go to that sort of the barcode type system at some point in the future?
I hope to be able to announce that very, very soon to enable us to do that. And that isn't, you know, said about improving the bottom line. That is an investment, but I think it's an investment that we would be wise to make to improve that fan experience and save some trees as well.
Absolutely. That fan experience as well, Danny. In terms of non-match day events, you wanted to discuss this too.
Yeah, it's such an important part. So when I came in, our non-match day was really low levels of sales. That's not a criticism of who there before, but it wasn't the priority of the previous owners and needed to be, and we've put that at the forefront. So we have a meeting with the board every month now that solely focuses on non-match day, and it's grown from almost a pound note in your pocket to a very large revenue source and profit source for the club, and we want to grow that even more. So we've just got our wedding license back, so if there's anyone out there wants to get married on the hallowed turf
by Daniel Metcalfe.
Well, if you want that's extra and there's no mopeds coming by the side of the pitch for that one, but all joke apart, that's huge.
Daniel, that's something missed if you can't have Papa John's sponsoring a wedding ceremony.
I shall mention that's a sales team, but there's a huge opportunity there for us to really improve and get to sustainable. We can do that. You know, we've got a huge community on our doorstep, and we want to put on concerts, we want to put on evening events, we want to put on parties, conferences, etc. And yeah, We've got a great venue that's 2 minutes from the tube station if you run, 5 minutes if you walk, and it's, yeah, we're three or four stops from central London. Why would you not use it?
While we've got you in the studio, gents, two fans at the moment, we talk about the match day experience. What is the match day experience for you guys, Julian and Rob?
I'll go first. So mine's a little bit different, you know. So I'm not a drinker, so I'm not using the bars, and my thing is to get in amongst there as early as I can. I still enjoy seeing the team warm up. But if you look around, and a lot of my friends use the facilities, I think that the food facilities are better over the last couple of seasons. We're starting to sort of a wider choice. I think the bars are well stocked, and again we're doing some creative things at the club with the sort of the breweries we work with. The O'Nuts, I think that comes out every now and then, and Danny shared with us on Thursday that they're quite expensive, you know, to produce, but again brings it in. I think the fear as a fan, if Danny still take this one, but as a fan we felt that with American ownership per se, you know, we would get a lot of rah-rah and sort of fireworks every home game and all that, and I'm glad we haven't. We've sort of kept it quite normal, and I think that continuation would be great. I think people will get a bit, oh, okay, it's a bit too much razzmatazz for us. We are Leighton Orient, and we do this, but I think we appreciate, and I think people are a little bit more realistic regards that sustainability piece. We nearly lost our club, and that was so emotional. Forget Papa John's, forget O'Nuts, forget the bars. We nearly lost our club, and we couldn't have had these discussions about these. Everyone's got an opinion about everything. We couldn't have had those discussions. So I'm really pleased to see where we are now. One thing I'll say to Danny, I'll say it to Kent, I'll say it to Nigel, I'll say it to anyone who wants to listen. Just don't make us like a big American football team, because that's not what we're going to be. We're East End through and through fans, and we just like to enjoy the atmosphere around the ground, but more importantly, enjoy our company of the people around us.
Agree with that, Rob?
I think we should be like an American football team and get Beyonce to sing at half time. money spinner there for you.
Spoiled now.
Oh, sorry.
Talk about the match day experience. There it is.
Yeah, there you
Rob,
go.
Don't encourage him.
Sorry. No, for me, I'm third generation. I used to go with my dad and granddad. Now I take my little boy, so he's starting to get into football. I didn't want to take him until he was old enough to walk out by himself. but he's actually quite enjoying it. So my match day experience is generally just eating sweets, which is good. I'm probably Danny's worst nightmare, because I get there at 2:55, I buy nothing. But I do pay for two season tickets, so you kind of get my contribution to the club up front, and then I'm sort of done for the season, really.
Every little helps, I suppose. Gents, it's Crew and Stevenage up next for the O's. We're going to be discussing that next on the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Leighton Orient Fan Show here with the boys from the Lowdown Podcast. Julian Fern, Rob Edwards joining me and Matt Beadle and Chief Exec Danny Macklin in the studio too. We've got about 9 minutes or so to go. We're going to be talking about the games with Crew and Stevenage coming up this week. But Rob, just before we get there, we want to talk a bit about the youth.
Yeah, so we've had a question through on Twitter about the updates or lack of updates on the youth team. I think when we'd probably got them fairly regularly. There was sort of the shining light over the club for 2 or 3 years during our dark time, particularly with so many making their way into the first team. And since moving on, I mean, people like we've mentioned on the show before, Stephen Alzad team, the rise has been incredible. Sam Dalby came on in to make his Watford debut. And a lot of other players, Teddy Jenkins, all go into to big clubs. Yeah. Tristan, yeah. Is there anything in line to kind of improve the communication around the youth team?
Yeah, we're in a bit of a transition period. Obviously, Elliot's moved on to Bournemouth, and very much good luck to him there. He'll be sorely missed. Dan, who's very much holding the fort, he's our media assistant. He's basically doing every single role, albeit with some support from marketing guys, but he's doing an absolutely amazing job. So I've got a new media manager joining us. We'll announce that in the next week or so, but he joins us in start of March, and he will be absolutely fundamental to very much moving things on a level. First team academy, we're very proud of our academy. We should shout about it.
I think it's the right point. I think as a club, we are quite interested, not just on the first team. That's one thing.
Well, the women's as well. We talk about the women a lot on here as well.
Yeah,
women's football team.
Thank you. Just one thing on Dan. I mentioned it off air. He's done a sterling job. Yeah, for a young man who's still at uni. I think his interviews are brilliant. You know, for a young chap, he puts us in a cocked hat. You know, he's really, really good. He got the respect of the players and the management. So pat him on the back when you get back to the office.
I will do. I mean a lot to him. He deserves that.
And also, if he is listening, can we make sure I get a press pass for next Saturday? And can we get Ross's interview sorted out because I want him in the studio?
And you want a bag of sweets?
And a bag of sweets.
Two bags of sweets.
And also, mate, Julian's coming for your job, so be careful.
No. You're coming for your job.
Danny, while you're here as well, I just wanted to touch on the fact that so much now in football, owners are criticised and the board are criticised from being quite detached from the fans. So many clubs, they don't even attend games. There's not that connection with the fans. But I think what's so good to see from you, and certainly I mentioned it earlier on Twitter, is that you are part of the club. You know, you are wanting Leighton Orient to succeed. It's more than just a job. It's more than just a business here. You understand that this really is a football club.
Every reason I joined, I could have given 50 reasons, but one of the top reasons was how engaged our board were, and joined when they'd been in charge for a couple of hours. And we take it for granted, I think. So, I can call myself a Leighton Orient fan now. However long I'm in this job, I will always look out for the results. I'm not going anywhere, hasten to add. But it's the connection Nigel Kent, the whole board have. We're really lucky. And they're genuine with it. A hugely successful business people. I know it's 2.5 years on now since they came in, and every fan would have met them. But it's an event like Thursday night. Now, Nigel runs huge businesses, but the work that he's putting in this week to prepare for Thursday, that those that are in the lucky sort of 150, 175 or so will get to see, is, no other owners do that. And that is, he's putting that in because he's got so much passion. He's obviously a fan for also decades, should we say, a few more.
He remembers the pound note and the Esso tokens and Green Shield stamps.
He certainly will do. And he does that because he just wants to see this club successful and sustainable.
That must be nice, fellas, from a fan's perspective to hear.
I think for us, I think when we didn't know anything about Kent, and we know a lot about Kent now, and although he's still very open, but very sort of keeps his guard up as well, so we don't know the detail. We know him, the Orient Kent. Nigel, I mean, like any of us, I think if any of us had sort of any way of raising that type of cash to take on the club with passion and that, you would look at how Nigel's done that. And what I've really been pleased in, and the club's not sort of been all in glory over the last few months, and some of the announcements slow for Ross and gone from being really open to a little bit closed and all that cape everyone's saying. But one thing I really was impressed with, Nigel came out there, stuck a video out and said, "I am the chairman. I take it on the chin. I take responsibility." You don't get that a lot in any business walk of life, and that sort of gives you that confidence, and also from a fan, it makes you feel that you want to invest time, money, pound notes into the club, and be a part of that, and that's what's really good, and I think the long may that continue, with or without a Nigel at the helms. I think we've got a good management team around the club who really cares about the environment we're going to see football in.
Good stuff. Okay, gents. Well, we're nearing the end of the show. Danny, it's been great having you in. We have to look ahead to the games, of course. Crewe coming up flying high in League Two. Stevenage, after that, flying very low in League Two. What are we saying for the week? The week's games coming up, Rob?
Obviously, two very different teams in different form. I think Danny made a point outside that Stevenage is probably going to be a harder game than Crewe because they're going to be running out of time and fighting for their lives. Crewe are good footballing teams. I think we tend to fare a little bit better. So I think 4 points from those two games. I think we'll snatch a draw at Crewe, and hopefully we'll be up for Stevenage because they'll no doubt be ready for it.
Julian?
I'm similar opinion, really. My concern is Stevenage, if I'm honest. Crewe, win or lose, they're a good team. But saying that, we played two informed teams over the last two games, and they've got 4 points out of a possible six. I'm really concerned about Stevenage because, as Danny did mention, and well spotted, they're running out of time, and we're probably a team they could potentially try to beat and drag us into the situation they're in. I would love to see 4 points over the next two games, but if I'm honest, I'd be fairly happy with never happy with two, but I think consistently with two. But if I'm being absolutely off the fence, we've been 1-0 at Crewe, 3-0 at Stevenage, but that's not being realistic, if I'm honest.
Okay, Danny, I don't think I'm going to push you for a prediction. I don't think that's fair, but
oh god,
6 points?
Yeah, anything less. We can take game by game at a time. We've got a feel-good factor. You can feel it around the training ground. And after Tuesday and Saturday's positive results, let's go and build on it. And we don't need to fear anyone. Both games will be very tough for different reasons. Crewe going, they'll be hoping to go up automatic. Stevenage doing everything they can to make sure they don't go through the trapdoor. And we've got two exciting away games that perhaps a couple of weeks ago we might not have been as confident, but we'll take good numbers to both, and especially Saturday, and it's a good opportunity.
Top stuff. Danny Macklin, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Been nothing
but
a pleasure having you on. Rob Edwards, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Julian Fern, thank you.
Cheers, mate.
This has been the Leighton Orient Fan Show with the boys from the Lowdown Podcast. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. here on Monday. Love Sport London. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.